Today we are reading from Canto 1, Chapter 6, which is entitled Conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva. And today we are on text 24. Tirmai nibadhyam,
Tirmai nibadhyam,
na vipadyeta karhichi,
na vipadyeta karhichi,
taja sarga nirodhepi,
taja sarga nirodhepi,
shritishcha madanugrahat, Mati, intelligence, Mai, devoted to me, Nibaddha, engaged, Iyam, thus, this, Na, never, Vipadyeta, separate, Karhichit, at any time, Raja, living being, Sarga, at the time of creation, Nirodhe, also at the time of annihilation, Api, even, Smriti, remembrance, Cha, and, Mat, mine, Anugrahat, by the mercy of. Translation. Intelligence engaged in my devotion cannot be thwarted at any time. Even at the time of creation, as well as at the time of annihilation, your remembrance will continue by my mercy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Devotional service rendered to the personality of Godhead never goes in vain. Since the personality of Godhead is eternal, intelligence applied in his service or anything done in his relation is also permanent. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that such transcendental service rendered unto the personality of Godhead accumulates birth after birth, and when the devotee is fully matured, the total service counted together makes him eligible to enter into the association of the personality of Godhead. Such accumulation of God service is never vanquished, but increases till fully matured. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Namave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Grim Yatripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So we are seeing over here in this chapter, and especially in this verse and a couple of verses before this, that the Lord has started speaking to Narad Muni. Narad Muni had darshan of the Lord when he was meditating. His mother passed away at the age of 5, and then Narad Muni left his home and he started traveling north. And then he was meditating on the Lord, and the Lord actually gave him darshan. But after giving him darshan, the Lord immediately vanished from his sight. And Narad Muni was grief-stricken. He was in so much agony. So then, just to mitigate Narad Muni's agony, like the Lord is showing his Bhakta Vatsala feature over here. So he immediately appeared in sound vibration in front of Narad Muni, and he started speaking to Narad Muni in very pleasing words. So he is continuing. This verse is a continuation of the speech of the Lord to Narad Muni. So he is trying to mitigate Narad Muni's grief, and he is also trying to give assurance to Narad Muni, or he is trying to give hope to Narad Muni. Because Narad Muni was thinking, he was so grief-stricken that the Lord has vanished. He thought everything is lost. But the Lord was giving him assurance that devotional service which is performed to me, in the previous verse it said that even for a few days if devotional service is performed to me, the result is eternal. Because the Lord is eternal, the result of devotional service is also eternal. So the Lord is giving hope to Narad Muni like this, that whatever you have done is never lost, but it will continue. By my mercy, you will still remember me. So we see in our material life, during our preaching efforts, we come across many people who actually sometimes suffer setbacks in their life. Of course, the setback which Narad Muni has suffered is not material. It's a spiritual agony which he is facing. But in our preaching efforts, we come across some people who suffer some agony or who suffer some grief in their life. But they immediately lose hope. And what to speak of losing hope, they immediately start blaming Krishna. They say that, oh, this is because of Krishna that this has happened. There was one family whom we were trying to preach to, and they suffered some setback. They had some complication in their delivery. They were going to deliver a child, and they suffered some complication, and Krishna actually solved that complication. But during the phase when that complication was there, they immediately felt that this is all because of Krishna. Because we came into Krishna bhakti, that is why all these problems are coming in our life. So they not only gave it up, they became so offensive towards Krishna. Or if somebody loses their job, we know of one more example, one Mataji who lost her job, and she felt it was because she started chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So people give up hope like this. They just want to give, they want to blame Krishna, and they want to give up their Krishna consciousness. But the Lord is assuring over here that anything which has been done in His service, even a small thing, even the intelligence which has been applied is not lost, and the service itself is also not lost. So in this way, the Lord is assuring Narad Muni. And he is saying that the spiritual bank account of devotional service continues forever. Like the material bank account, we know when we leave the material world, whatever assets we had, whatever land, property, bank account, everything that we had, whatever credit cards, debit cards, everything is gone. You know, sometimes people have remembrance of their previous lifetime. And we know of many cases where children have spoken what they were in their previous lifetime. But if they go and claim that money as that person, the bank is not going to give them that money. All your material assets are lost at the time of death, but only the spiritual bank account is eternal. Only the spiritual bank account continues. And how does this continue? It is because of the mercy of the Lord that it continues. Because the Lord promises in Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, 22nd verse, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam. So the Lord says in that verse that I carry what the devotee lacks and I preserve what the devotee has. So it is the Lord who is actually preserving our devotional service. And not only preserving, but carrying it forward for us, birth after birth, and not allowing it to diminish. So whenever a devotee takes birth in the next lifetime, then he is allowed to carry forward from whatever point he left off in the previous lifetime. And a similar question was asked by Arjuna to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 6. He says that what is the fate of a yogi who has fallen away from the spiritual path, or who could not complete his spiritual journey? Although he started chanting or he started following the bhakti yoga process, but he could not complete it. Then what is the fate? What does this type of person do in his next life? So there also Krishna is assuring, like now he is assuring Narad Muni how nothing is lost if in devotional service. Similarly, there also Krishna is assuring Arjuna that whenever a yogi, whenever a person has executed some devotional service, then he immediately gets birth in a very pious family. Or in a family which is full of Brahminical family. Either he gets birth in a pious family or he will get birth in a rich aristocratic family. So this is the bonus which Krishna gives to a person who has taken up even little bit devotional service. And then in the next verse Krishna further explains. He says, but a devotee who has for a long time practiced devotional service, such a person gets birth in a very highly elevated Vaishnava family. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives example of his own Guru Maharaj. He says that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Prabhupada quotes his own example also. He said that both of us, since our childhood, got the opportunity to continue devotional service because our parents were devotees. So this is the fate of a person who has practiced devotional service for a long time. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was born to a highly elevated Vaishnava, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So whatever devotional service they did is not lost at all. And in the next verse after that, Krishna further tells that such a yogi who had divine consciousness in his previous lifetime because of executing the process of bhakti yoga or Krishna consciousness, in the next lifetime, such a person is automatically attracted to the process of bhakti yoga and to the devotees, even though he himself does not seek such things. So this is the power of bhakti, that the consciousness becomes divine, and in the next lifetime, Even though, you know, that person may not actively go out and seek devotees, but if he comes across devotees or he comes across book distributors or Harinam, he immediately gets attracted to these things because he had so much of credit, spiritual credit in his bank account. And of this we know many examples in ISKCON only. We know so many of our acharyas, so many of our Guru Maharaj within ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada's disciples. They were not necessarily born in Vaishnava families. Like, not all the Guru Maharaj we have had parents who were also practicing devotees or who have been devotees for many years. They were all born in so-called mundane families. But as soon as they came across the process of Krishna consciousness, they immediately became attracted. They immediately sought out, they immediately started seeking the association of devotees, and then they continued from there. And today we see most of them are preaching the cult of Krishna consciousness all over the world. And what to speak of our acharyas, even in our own congregation, we see so many examples. We see many children who have been born in Vaishnava families in our congregation. And if you see these little children, there are 2-year, 3-year-old children, so many of them know already to play mridanga, or so many of them already know how to play kartals. Like in our Bhakti Vruksha, we have a 2 or 3-year-old boy, and he plays such good kartals. Now, nobody has taught him. How can you train a 2-year-old boy or 3-year-old boy? But he already knows. So we know, you know, our faith in Krishna's statements goes up. Because we see that, yes, this is proof that the devotional service has continued. This child must have been a devotee to be able to play kartals or mridanga at such a young age. And we know from the Shastras also, there is the example of Bharat Maharaj. Now, Bharat Maharaj had 3 lives. First, he was born as Bharat Maharaj, the emperor of the whole universe. He was the son of Rishabhdev. And he was given charge of the whole earth planet, the whole Bharat Varsha to rule. So he was such an exalted devotee of the Lord that towards the end of his life, he left everything and he went to the forest and he was trying to perfect his spiritual life and go back to Godhead. But somehow or the other, by the Lord's arrangement, he came across a deer and he started developing affection and attachment to the deer. And just because of that, he came back as a deer in his next lifetime. But as a deer, Krishna did not make him lose his remembrance of him. So same thing, what Krishna is assuring Narad Muni, that your remembrance of me will continue by my mercy. Same way, Bharat Maharaj, when he was born as a deer, he could completely remember his previous lifetime. The Lord gave him that remembrance so that he can progress in his spiritual life. And he gave him that remembrance that you were Bharat Maharaj and you were practicing such nice devotional service. But only because of this small attachment to the deer, you have been born as a deer in this lifetime. So by Krishna's mercy, he remembered and then he vowed not to get attached to anything or to anybody. So even after the deer was born, he immediately left the association of his mother and he went to a place where there were sages in the forest who were performing devotional service. And he just sat there, he would just eat some dry leaves and he just sat there listening to the sages doing their bhajan. And this way he perfected his life and in the next lifetime then he was given the exalted birth of Jad Bharat. And then as Jad Bharat, he was already a very elevated Vaishnava and he preached to Maharaj Rahuguna. And he preached the process of Bhakti Yoga to Maharaj Rahuguna and he was about to be killed. Jad Bharat was about to be killed because he used to act like a dumb man. But Kali Mata personally came out of her deity form to protect Jad Bharat. And it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam that she knew that this is an exalted Vaishnava who should not be sacrificed for me. So many examples are there in the Shastras and in our community we see and in our ISKCON movement we see a Guru Maharaj. And we see that whatever Krishna is saying is true in the Bhagavad Gita, that anything which is done in devotional service is not at all lost, but it just continues birth after birth. Till a devotee becomes mature in his Krishna consciousness and is ready to go back to Godhead. So today is also the appearance day of one of the great acharyas in our movement. He was an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's the appearance day of Advaita Acharya, for whom we are doing half-day fasting also today. So Advaita Acharya was also one such acharya who came to preach the cult of Krishna consciousness or the pure message of bhakti, and to spread the love of Godhead all over the world. His name was Advaita because Prabhupada mentions that Advaita Acharya is non-different than the Lord himself. He is actually the Supreme Lord, and because he is non-different, his name is Advaita. But he came as an Acharya, and therefore the name is Advaita Acharya. He came as an Acharya not just to teach by his own example, but also to preach. He was a very great preacher in his time. He used to preach the pure love of Godhead to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to Krishna. So he was born, he was a highly elevated Brahmana. He was born in a Brahmana community and he was the leader of the Brahmanas. of that time. So he was very senior. Everybody used to respect him. All the other Brahmanas used to respect him a lot. And as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yad Yad Acharati Shrestas, whatever a great man does, common people follow. So not only common people follow whatever a great man does, but common people even observe carefully whatever a great man does. So Advaita Acharya was so senior and so respected. He was the leader of this Brahmin community that all the Brahmins used to always observe and follow his example. But he was so radical in his preaching, and he was so convinced of the superiority of Bhakti Yoga that he did many radical things in this regard. And there is a small pastime of Advaita Acharya with Haridas Thakur. So once Advaita Acharya was performing Shraddha ceremony for his forefathers, and during the olden days especially, nowadays we, you know, the importance of all these ceremonies is lost, and they have just become ritualistic ceremonies. But in the olden days when Advaita Acharya was there, these ceremonies had lot of importance. And the success of the ceremony depended on how good Brahmanas came, how you invited qualified Brahmanas, and how you fed and served them very nicely. So that used to be the success of a Shraddha ceremony. So once Advaita Acharya was performing this ceremony, and he had invited so many qualified Brahmanas of that community, of the Brahminical community who used to live in Shantipur. But he also invited Haridas Thakur. Now by material considerations, Haridas Thakur was actually a mlecha. He was born in a Muslim family, so he was considered to be untouchable. And during the time of Advaita Acharya, now there is not so much of casteism and all these things, but during the time of Advaita Acharya, it was all so strict 500 years ago. People used to follow this Brahminical caste, Shudra, this, that, so strictly that the Brahmanas, even if the shadow of a Yavana falls on them, they will immediately go and take bath in the Ganga. And if a Yavana enters their house by mistake, they will immediately empty their house and clean the whole house, wash it with Ganga water and all these things. So it was so strict during those times. But Advaita Acharya invited Haridas Thakur. Despite of all these restrictions being there, he invited Haridas Thakur only because he knew that Haridas Thakur is actually not an outcast or a Yavana. He is actually Namacharya. He is the supreme person who is propagating the holy names of the Lord. So he not only invited him to the function, but he also gave him the esteemed seat of worship. So the first worship goes to the most elevated Brahmana. So he gave Haridas Thakur that worship. He made him sit in the esteemed seat of worship, and he gave him the first offering of that Shraddha ceremony. And Haridas Thakur was actually flabbergasted because he was so humble. So he started protesting actually that, no, don't do this to me. I am not a Brahmana, I am actually a Yavana, I am an outcast. Please don't offer all this to me because your Shraddha ceremony will be spoiled. And in front of everyone, Advaita Acharya told him that I know that you are the best of the Brahmanas. You are the most elevated Vaishnava. You are Namacharya. Who else can I serve nicely, and whom else will the Lord be pleased by if I serve you nicely, or if I don't serve you nicely, but I serve others who are not practicing the cult of Krishna consciousness. So this is how Advaita Acharya preached, not only through his lectures, but also by his own example. He preached the pure message of Krishna consciousness and the superiority of Bhakti Yoga over all other things, over all other Brahmanas and everything. So Advaita Acharya was born 550 years ago in this material world. And it is very important on the appearance day of these great Acharyas that we understand who they were, why they had come, why is it so important to pray to them for their mercy. So we'll discuss a few pastimes of Advaita Acharya on his most auspicious appearance day. So we know there is the Panchatattva, or the five principles of the absolute truth. So Krishna came in five different forms just to spread love of Godhead in Kali Yuga. And we know the shloka, Panchatattvatmakam Krishna, Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam, Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam, Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in the Mangalacharan, in the Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he describes this shloka in great detail and what is the importance and what is the significance of the Panchatattva. He explains. So he explains all the five aspects. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that the first aspect, which is Bhakta Rupa. So Bhakta Rupa means in the form of a devotee. And this Bhakta Rupa is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, who came in the form of his own devotee to taste the love of Radharani. So this is Bhakta Rupa. The second is Swarupakam. Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam. Swarupakam means the expansion of the Lord who came as a devotee. And this is Lord Nityananda. Then the third aspect is Bhakta Avatara. Bhakta Avatar. Avatar means incarnation. So the incarnation of the Lord, who came as a devotee of the Lord. And this was Advaita Acharya. The fourth aspect is Bhaktakhyam. Bhaktakhyam means the devotee of the Lord. And this was Srivas Thakur, who came as a, who was actually Narad Muni. And the fifth aspect is Bhakta Shaktikam, the energy of the Lord. So that was Gadadhar Pandit. Now all five of these Panchatattva came to actually spread pure love of Godhead in this material world. And therefore it is so important to invoke their mercy. And that is why Prabhupada had established that system, that before we start chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we always chant the Panchatattva prayers. So that we invoke their mercy and we take their blessings before we chant the Radha Krishna mantras. So Advaita Acharya is actually Bhakta Avatar. He is the incarnation of the Lord who has come in the guise of a devotee. Now Krishnadas Kavidas Goswami further explains in that Mangalacharan where he is explaining the Panchatattva. So he says that out of these five aspects of the Panchatattva, the first three are actually Prabhus. And the remaining two are not Prabhus. So the remaining two are actually Gadadhar Pandit and Srivas Thakur. Gadadhar Pandit is actually the Shakti of the Lord, or Radharani. He is the halo of Radharani. So he is the Shakti of the Lord. He is not Shaktiman. So therefore he is not Prabhu. And Srivas Thakur is a devotee of the Lord. He is Jiva Tattva. He is Narad Muni who has come in the form of a devotee to spread the love of Godhead. So these two are not Prabhus. But the first three are Prabhus. They are all Vishnu Tattvas. And out of these three, there is one Mahaprabhu, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he is special because he is not an avatar, but he is Avatari Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the original form of the Lord. He did not come as an incarnation, or he is not an expansion of the Lord, but he is the original form of the Lord. He is Avatari Krishna. He is non-different from the Lord. And therefore he is known as Mahaprabhu. And the other two are Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya. They are also two Prabhus. They are also Vishnu Tattva. Lord Nityananda, as we know, is Lord Balram, and Advaita Acharya is an incarnation of Mahavishnu. So they all came to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They too came to serve, these two other Prabhus came to serve Mahaprabhu. But of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never used to like to accept service from Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, because they both were his seniors. They both were not only senior in age, but also seniors in their Krishna consciousness, so-called Krishna, like in the material world. So he never used to accept service from them, but both of them used to relish serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now Advaita Acharya came in the form of a devotee, and therefore it is so important to pray to him, because devotees of the Lord are more merciful. And therefore on this auspicious day we pray to him that we get his mercy so that we can also practice our Krishna consciousness. And in fact there is a bhajan also which says that Daya karo Sita Pati Advaita Gosai Tava Kripa Bale Pai Chaitanya Nitai. So it is only because of Advaita Acharya that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invented in this material, or incarnated in this material world. So he is the Advaita Acharya is actually one of, there are six reasons why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to this material world. There are three external reasons and three internal reasons. And Advaita Acharya is one of the main external reasons why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu incarnated in this material world. So Advaita Acharya saw, during Advaita Acharya's time, Kali Yuga had already started. And he saw that there is so much atheism in this world, there is so much materialism, there are so many distorted concepts of religion going on. And he was so worried about the condition of the living entities in Kali Yuga. So out of his compassion, he started thinking that no, the Lord has to come down to mitigate all these things which are going on in the Kali Yuga. He has to come down to spread pure love of Godhead so that all these suffering people can be saved. And although he himself is an incarnation of the Lord, he himself is Mahavishnu, he said he thought that he is incapable of delivering the people of Kali Yuga. And therefore he started worshipping the Supreme Lord. He had Shaligram Shila, and he started worshipping that Shaligram Shila with Ganga water mixed with Tulsi Manjaris. So continuously he used to worship, and he used to roar for the Lord to come. He used to petition, he used to roar. And he used to call the Lord, please incarnate, please incarnate, please come and save these suffering conditioned souls. And Acharyas call this roar as Prem Hunkar. In fact, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has written a song called the Advaita Ashtakam, in which he sings Hunkarav Garjanadi Ahoratra Sadgunam. So he is singing that by continuously roaring, you made the Supreme Personality of Godhead incarnate in this material world. It is said that out of so much compassion, Advaita Acharya used to roar, that his roar used to pierce all the coverings of the material world, and they reached the ears of Krishna. In fact, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he mentioned also to his devotees, he used to call Advaita Acharya as Nada in affection use. So he said, because of this Nada, I heard I was nicely sleeping on the ocean, milk ocean. But he made me incarnate. His roars were piercing through the coverings of all the universe. And he made me incarnate. They fell into my ear, and that is why I had to incarnate. So we know that without Advaita Acharya's mercy and without Advaita Acharya petitioning Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have come to this material world. And we would not have got the association or the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, there is another bhajan which says, Yadi gaur na hoito, tabe ki hoito, ke mone bharitam de, radhar mahima, prema rasasima, jagate janato ke. So if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have been there, what would have happened to all of us who are suffering in this Kali Yuga? And Radhara Mahima Prema Rasa Seema, who would have known the importance of Radharani? And Prema Rasa Seema, we would have never come to taste the love of Godhead which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to spread. So what would have happened to all of us without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adventing in this material world? And if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came only because of Advaita Acharya's calling. So that is how grateful we have to be to Advaita Acharya. If he wouldn't have petitioned the Supreme Lord to come, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have come. And therefore we have with a heart full of gratitude, we have to pray to Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya is actually the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose function is to create this cosmic world through the actions of Maya. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he has personally glorified Advaita Acharya. In many, many places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to love to worship Advaita Acharya because he was his senior. So he has personally glorified Advaita Acharya. He has said that although Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Lord himself, he has come in the guise of a devotee. And there is no greater scholar than Advaita Acharya, and there is no greater devotee of the Lord than Advaita Acharya. And therefore I personally want to worship this Advaita Acharya, by whose association even mlechchas can become pure devotees of the Lord. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to glorify Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya is simultaneously a plenary portion of Mahavishnu, but he is also a form of Lord Shiva or Sadashiva, who has his own planet in the spiritual world. Now Lord Shiva is known as Digpal. In Vrindavan, Lord Shiva plays a very important role. He is known as Digpal. That means he is the protector of the holy dham. He protects the holy dhams like Mayapur and Vrindavan. He does not allow unqualified people to enter into the holy dham. So he is also, therefore he is known as Digpal or Kshetrapal, because he is the most exalted Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. He is the most exalted Vaishnava, and therefore he does not allow any unqualified people to enter into the dham. And another aspect of Lord Shiva in Vrindavan is that he is also known as Gopeshwar Mahadev. So Lord Shiva was so attracted, because he is an exalted Vaishnava, he was so attracted to the Rasa Leela dance of Krishna along with his gopis that he wanted to himself enter into this Rasa Leela dance. But he was told that you cannot enter in a male form. You will have to take a gopi form to enter. And that is how he takes the form of gopi, and he is known as Gopeshwar Mahadev in Vrindavan. Now there is one more form of Lord Shiva in the spiritual world. And this has been mentioned in the Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, which has been written by Kavi Karnapurna. So he says that Lord Shiva is also a cowherd boy in the spiritual world. So once Lord Shiva was seeing that Krishna and Balram, they were frolicking with all the cowherd boys. And they were playing, they were all dancing, like Krishna and Balram, we have read in the Krishna book. They used to all go for grazing their calves and cows, and they used to dance, imitate peacocks, or imitate different birds, imitate their sounds or their walking style, dancing like peacocks. So all the boys were frolicking along with Krishna and Balram. And when Lord Shiva saw all this, he developed an attraction in his heart to also participate in this type of Leela of the Lord. And therefore he became a cowherd boy in Krishna Leela. And then he could participate. He also danced and he frolicked with Krishna. So it is mentioned that it is this Advaita Acharya, who was actually a cowherd boy in Krishna Leela, who incarnated as Advaita Acharya in this material world. So it is this form of Lord Shiva as a cowherd boy who came down. Now Advaita Acharya was born in a village called Nabagram, which is near Silhet. And this is in present day Bangladesh. His father's name was Kubera Pandit, and his mother's name was Nabha Devi. Now it is mentioned that this Kubera Pandit is actually the original Kubera, who is the treasurer of the demigods. And this Kubera is actually an eternal associate of Lord Shiva. So because Shiva and Kubera are so close, Shiva came as Advaita Acharya and Kubera came as Advaita Acharya's father, or Kubera Pandit he was called as. So there is not much known about the childhood pastimes of Advaita Acharya. He was born in Navagram, but when he grew up he moved to Shantipur and he built a house over there. And he also apparently had a house in Mayapur. So Advaita Acharya used to shuttle between Shantipur and Mayapur always. And in Mayapur he set up a toll means a grammar school he set up. And Advaita Acharya was a teacher. So he used to teach Sanskrit. So many students used to come. And like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had glorified Advaita Acharya in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was the greatest scholar of his time. So many students used to come to learn Sanskrit from him. But Advaita Acharya, being the best devotee of the Lord as well, he used to even teach the pure process of bhakti to all his students. Along with grammar, or along with Sanskrit grammar, he used to teach all these. He used to teach the superiority of bhakti to all of them. So during this phase of Advaita Acharya's life, Madhavendra Puri once visited Advaita Acharya. And immediately when Madhavendra Puri came to Advaita Acharya's house, Advaita Acharya recognized that this is my eternal guru. Because immediately Advaita Acharya started manifesting all the ecstatic symptoms of Krishna consciousness. Tears started flowing from his eyes, hair stood on end. So he immediately realized that this is a very great personality and he is my eternal guru. So Advaita Acharya then humbly served Madhavendra Puri and he took initiation from him. And also after a few years, Ishwara Puri visited Advaita Acharya's house. Ishwara Puri is the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Ishwara Puri had never propagated himself. He had never advertised himself as a great Vaishnava. He used to just move around like a simple man, like a simple renunciate. So not many people were aware of his glories. So he just came down and sat quietly in Advaita Acharya's courtyard. And Advaita Acharya immediately recognized that this is the great Ishwara Puri, who is actually a disciple of my own Guru Maharaj. And then he immediately worshipped him. He called him inside his house and he served him very nicely. And this was one more reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never used to like to accept service from Advaita Acharya. Because Advaita Acharya was the god brother of his spiritual master. So he was almost like his spiritual master. And thus Advaita Acharya not only was 50 years his senior in age, Advaita Acharya was 50 or 52 years senior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in age, but he was also the god brother of his spiritual master. So these are the two reasons why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never used to like to accept service from Advaita Acharya. Now Advaita Acharya's lectures, when he used to lecture in this toll or in this grammar school where all the students used to come in Mayapur, Vishwaroop, who is the elder son of Jagannath Mishra, the elder brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also used to come and listen to these lectures. And he used to listen continuously to Advaita Acharya talking about bhakti to Krishna, pure love of Krishna, and also the futility of material existence. So hearing all these lectures, Vishwaroop became very inspired in his heart. These lectures used to touch Vishwaroop's heart so much. And when Vishwaroop used to come and hear these lectures, Sachi Mata used to send young Nimai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just a little boy at that time. So Sachi Mata used to send young Nimai with Vishwaroop's lunch. Whenever Vishwaroop was attending lectures, he would come with his big brother's lunch to Advaita Acharya's house. And Advaita Acharya used to be awestruck when he used to see Nimai Pandit. He used to think, who is this beautiful child? He did not understand, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not revealed his supremacy of as the supreme personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not revealed that. So he used to be wonderstruck that, who is this little child? He is so beautiful. He has such a divine appearance. And he did not realize that this is the same Lord whom I only petitioned to incarnate in this material world. So he used to always think about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now a few years later, because of listening to the lectures of Advaita Acharya, Vishwaroop, like the spirit of renunciation ignited in Vishwaroop's heart. And especially when he heard that his parents have started looking for a girl for him for marriage. So he immediately left home because of the effect of Advaita Acharya's lectures. He became a sannyasi and he left home and he went away forever. And when Vishwaroop left home, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata were heartbroken. They were totally devastated. They almost could not sustain their lives. In fact, Jagannath Mishra actually could not sustain his life. So a few months after Vishwaroop left home, Jagannath Mishra left this world. He could not live without his son. But Sachi Mata somehow survived because she had young Nimai to look after. So only because of Nimai, Sachi Mata was sustaining her life. And then when Nimai grew big, she married him to Lakshmi Priya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's first wife's name was Lakshmi Priya. She married him to Lakshmi Priya, and at that phase, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also started attending the lectures of Advaita Acharya in that Sanskrit grammar school. And Sachi Mata started getting worried. Obviously, like, you know, when parents are always worried when children take the brahmachari ashram, when they leave home and go away. So similarly, Sachi Mata had already lost one son. And now she was so worried about the other son, who was her life and soul. So she started thinking in her mind. She started thinking that this Gosai, this Advaita Acharya, his name should not have been Advaita. Because Advaita means non-different, or Advaita means oneness, one who unites. But this Advaita Acharya is actually doing right the opposite thing. Instead of bringing oneness in my family, he is actually splitting my family. He has already taken away my first son. Hearing his lectures, my first son left home. And now my second son has also started attending his lectures. So maybe he will also leave home and go away. Actually, this Gosai's name should have been Dvaita, one who splits families. So like this, Sachi Mata was thinking in her mind. She harbored sort of this small ill feeling towards Advaita Acharya. But she just thought about it. She never mentioned it to anyone. She never spoke it aloud. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Antaryami, he is the Supreme Lord himself. He immediately came to know that Sachi Mata has harbored little bit of ill feeling for such a great Vaishnava like Advaita Acharya in her mind. So many years later, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually started exhibiting his opulence of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was performing the Mahaprakash Leela in, I think it was in Advaita, in Srivas Thakur's house. And this Mahaprakash Leela went on for 21 hours, where he was exhibiting that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was calling all the devotees who were present there, he was calling them one by one, and he was granting so many benedictions to all these devotees. He was in such a merciful mood. Somebody was asking that, oh, let my child become Krishna conscious. Somebody was saying, I'm facing this obstacle in my bhakti. Somebody was praying for their wife. Somebody was praying for parents. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was granting everybody blessings in their bhakti process. And then the devotees noticed that Sachi Mata is conspicuous by her absence. She is not present in this assembly when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is exhibiting so much opulence and he is giving so many blessings. So some of the devotees mentioned to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Sachi Mata is not there. Please let me go and call Sachi Mata so she can also seek blessings from you and she can participate in this Mahaprakash Leela. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu roared. He said, no, don't invite her to this Mahaprakash Leela. And everybody was shocked because she's the mother of the Supreme Lord. So they said, why? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, because she has offended. She has offended a great Vaishnava. She has offended Advaita Acharya and she harbored some ill feelings in her heart. So therefore she cannot enter into this Mahaprakash Leela of mine. Now the devotees were so devastated because they had so much love for Sachi Mata. And immediately some of the devotees ran to Sachi Mata and told her all this. And Sachi Mata realized, because she knew she had done this. So she realized that, oh, I have done this offense. And immediately she ran towards where the Mahaprakash Leela was taking place. And in her mind, while she was running, she thought that how is it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows about this? I never mentioned this aloud to anybody. And she was so amazed that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because she was not fully aware that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Out of her motherly affection, she was not able to accept that fact. So she was wondering this and she was running towards Advaita Acharya's house, towards Srivas Thakur's house. And as soon as she came in the assembly of devotees, she fell down at the feet of Advaita Acharya. And she started apologizing profusely to Advaita Acharya. She said that I had harbored some ill feelings towards you. You please pardon me. I should not have done like this. And Advaita Acharya was so embarrassed. He was feeling so ashamed that the mother of the Supreme Lord is falling at my feet. So immediately, being the exalted Vaishnava that he was, he immediately started glorifying Sachi Mata. He started saying that you are the great mother from whose womb the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of all creation, has taken birth. You are so glorious. How is it that the Supreme Lord chose you to be his mother? So like that, in many, many different ways, he started glorifying Sachi Mata. And because of the ecstasy of glorifying Sachi Mata, Advaita Acharya fell unconscious. He immediately lost consciousness and he fainted. And Sachi Mata was just waiting for this opportunity. Because she knew if when Advaita Acharya is awake and in full consciousness, he will never allow her to touch his feet. So as soon as she fell unconscious, Advaita Acharya fell unconscious, Sachi Mata immediately took the dust from his lotus feet and she smeared it over her head. And then she paid obeisances also to him. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this, he was so pleased in his heart that his mother has done this, and in this way she has nullified her offense. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased, and then he gave his full mercy to Sachi Mata. And Vrindavan Das Thakur and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, they explain the significance of this pastime. They say that this pastime is very significant for all Vaishnavas, because there are two things we need to learn from this pastime. The first aspect is that Vaishnava Prat does not spare anybody. So even though Sachi Mata was the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because she had offended such a great Vaishnava as Advaita Acharya, she could not be spared of that offense. This offense will immediately put an obstruction on the path of bhakti, and it will immediately block Krishna's mercy flowing through. And we saw that happen. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving his mercy and benediction to all the devotees, but he was not ready to give it to Sachi Mata, because this Vaishnava Aparad was blocking that mercy from flowing. So it shows that Vaishnava Aparad is so important that nobody can be spared from Vaishnava Aparad, and it shows how careful we all have to be in committing any aparad to any Vaishnavas. And the second aspect, which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Vrindavan Das Thakur explain, is the humility. The humility of Sachi Mata as well as the humility of Advaita Acharya. Now Sachi Mata, when the devotees told her, she could have thought that, oh, I'm the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everyone worships my son, why should I go and apologize to Advaita Acharya? What have I done? This is not a great offense. And that too, I did not tell it to anybody. I just thought it in my mind. She had not even mentioned it to anybody. And that too, actually Advaita Acharya's, because Advaita Acharya's lectures were inspiring, it was true that Vishwaroop left his house because of Advaita Acharya. So it was not that she was even thinking something wrong. It is true that, you know, Advaita Acharya's lectures inspired Vishwaroop to leave the house. But still, she was so humble that she immediately took in her heart that, no, I have to apologize for this offense that I have done. And she ran to Advaita Acharya and she apologized to him, or she sought forgiveness for her offense. And also Advaita Acharya's humility. He did not, you know, think that, oh yes, yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told me, how could she think of me like this? I was not targeting her son alone. He did not start thinking like that. He immediately felt ashamed that, no, nobody should apologize to me like this, because he felt he had not done, like she has not done any offense to him. So this shows the humility of both Advaita Acharya and as well as Sachi Mata. So Advaita Acharya was always sad, although he was getting so much association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was always sad and he was always distressed, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to keep worshipping, and you know, like this, he made Sachi Mata also worship him, fall at his feet. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always used to see Advaita Acharya as his superior. So Advaita Acharya was very sad, because he had come in the mood of a devotee to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not to take service from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was thinking ways and means, how can I somehow become a servant? How can somehow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accept me as his servant? So he was thinking of ways and means to do this. And one day he thought of a very nice trick. So he started lecturing in his Sanskrit school, the Tol which he had set up in Shantipur. He started lecturing from a book called Yoga Vashishtha. And then in that Yoga Vashishtha, there are many, many points about Mayavadi philosophy. So Advaita Acharya started preaching this Mayavadi philosophy. He started mentioning so many points. He said, oh, there is the Lord and we are one. He started talking about the oneness aspect of the Lord and how we are also all Lord. At the end of this lifetime, we will all merge into the Lord. So he started preaching all these things. And the news reached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Mayapur. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard that, who, Advaita Acharya is preaching Mayavadi philosophy? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was strong against Mayavad philosophy. He used to always condemn Mayavadis. That was one purpose of his incarnation in this world, that he had come to totally smash Mayavad philosophy. So he was so angry when he heard that Advaita Acharya is preaching this Mayavad philosophy, that he ran all the way from Mayapur to Shantipur. And when he saw that Advaita Acharya is preaching, in front of his students, he dragged him out of that school, and he started physically thrashing Advaita Acharya. He started saying that, how you are preaching this Mayavad philosophy? And he beat him and beat him and beat him. And Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaita Acharya, had to intervene actually. And she begged the Lord. She said, don't beat him so much. He's so old, he'll die. Please don't beat him like this. She had to beg to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Advaita Acharya was in ecstasy. He was so happy, and because he said that somehow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has chastised me and somehow he has accepted me as his servant, because nobody will beat their master. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always used to consider Advaita Acharya very superior, but somebody will only beat their servant if they do a mistake. So he, Advaita Acharya, was so satisfied that somehow my mission has been successful. I did this trick and now the Lord is greeting me and he has accepted me as his servant. So he was in total bliss. And seeing the bliss of Advaita Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized that this was a trick actually Advaita Acharya had played. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu externally was so embarrassed that he did all this to Advaita Acharya. But internally he was very pleased with Advaita Acharya's mood that yes, he's setting the right example how everyone should strive to become the servant of the servant of the Lord. So there is one more pastime of Advaita Acharya. Now Advaita Acharya and Sita Thakurani, his wife, they were exemplary grahasthas. And they always used to like to invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for prasad at their house. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his pastimes in Jagannath Puri, after he took sannyas, he had left Mayapur and he had made his base as Jagannath Puri. So that time Advaita Acharya and Sita Thakurani had invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to their house for prasadam. And they knew that whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes for prasad, he always brings 10 to 12 sannyasis with him. And all these sannyasis come with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They take all his personal association and at the end they also eat all his remnants. So nothing is left for us. This is what Advaita Acharya and Sita Thakurani were thinking. So Advaita Acharya developed that desire in his heart that I want to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally. I want to have some personal association of the Lord. And we want to have the remnants of the Lord. So what he did was, after they had finished cooking, when it was time for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come, there was suddenly a very big rainfall. So the whole Jagannath Puri became pitch dark and torrents of rain started pouring all over the Jagannath Puri. Except the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living and the path which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take to come to Advaita Acharya's house. Only that area was spared of the rain, but everywhere else it started raining. So none of the sannyasis could leave their house to come to Advaita Acharya's house to have prasad. They all had to stay in their house, but only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could come. And then Advaita Acharya and Sita Thakurani, through their full heart satisfaction, they fed prasad to the Lord. And at the end of prasadam, Advaita Acharya started singing prayers. He started glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he started offering prayers to the Lord. And these were the same prayers which Lord Indra offered to Krishna after the Govardhan pastime. After Indra had made that rainfall come. So the same prayers Advaita Acharya started offering to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately understood, because he is Antaryami, he is the Supreme Lord. He immediately understood. He said that I know your desire. Because you wanted to serve me personally, you made this rain come. So even Indra follows your desire. Because you are Mahavishnu and you are the creator, Indra also follows your desire. And he poured all this rain everywhere else except in my house so that I could only come to take prasad with you. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually very pleased with this service attitude of Advaita Acharya. And also there is one more pastime of Advaita Acharya's son. Now another example of Advaita Acharya and Sita Thakurani being exemplary grahasthas was the way in which they were bringing up their son Achyutananda. Now when Achyutananda was only 5 years old, once at the house of Advaita Acharya, there was a Brahmin sannyasi who came. So Advaita Acharya, he immediately invited this sannyasi inside and he made him sit nicely, he offered all worship to him. And then he said, you please have prasadam at my house. So this Brahmin sannyasi said that I will have prasadam only after you answer one question of mine. And Advaita Acharya kept telling him, no, you please have prasadam first. It is my duty to serve you prasadam first and then you can ask me any question that you want. But the sannyasi, this Brahmin, did not agree at all. He said, no, I have to ask you this question, only then I will accept prasad from you. So then Advaita Acharya had to consent. And then this Brahmin sannyasi asked Advaita Acharya. He said that who is Keshav Bharti and what is his relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And Advaita Acharya was a bit amazed that this Brahmin sannyasi is asking me this question. So he started thinking that, you know, there are so many internal reasons of, because Keshav Bharti is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas guru. So he started thinking, what should I explain to this sannyasi? That, you know, the Lord has come, but to set an example, he accepts a guru. Like, he was thinking of so many answers in his mind. But he thought, first let me explain the external answer to him, or the external relationship which Keshav Bharti has with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So thinking like this, Advaita Acharya told that Brahmin sannyasi. He said Keshav Bharti is actually the guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas from him. And when Achyutananda, who was just 5 years old at that time, he heard that Advaita Acharya answered like this to the Brahmin sannyasi, he immediately came running to where his father was standing. And this Achyutananda, because he was just 5 years old, he was just dressed in the four directions. He did not have any clothes on him, and because he was playing outside, he was smeared with dust all over his body. So in that form he came in front of Advaita Acharya and this Brahmin sannyasi. And he started crying and he started roaring in front of Advaita Acharya. He said, "Father, what are you telling this Brahmin sannyasi? You are my siksha guru. I am learning so many things from you and you are answering like this." He said, "Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually the origin of everything. He is the origin of creation. When there is nothing in this world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. And then from his pores, innumerable universes are coming out. And then he himself enters into each and every universe. He lies down on the Garbhodaka ocean. And still the universe is empty. And from his navel, a lotus stem sprouts. And Lord Brahma takes birth on that lotus stem. But even when Lord Brahma appears, he does not know anything. He comes down and he has to take instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs him, Brahma becomes enlightened. He creates and then he becomes enlightened in Vedic knowledge as well. And then Brahma imparts this Vedic knowledge to Narada, to Sanat Kumar, Sanandan. And that is how the Vedic knowledge has been flowing through this material world. So that Brahma, who is the origin, who has originally spread the Vedic knowledge, to him the Vedic knowledge was imparted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you are saying that he has accepted a guru? He is the guru of everyone in this world. He is the guru because he is the one who propagated this Vedic knowledge or who propounded Vedic knowledge in Brahma's heart. So how can you say that he had to accept a guru?" So in these ways, in different words, Achyutananda started talking to Advaita Acharya. And he said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can never have any guru. It is only for us that he showed by example how we should all have a guru in this material world. So it was only for our benefit. Otherwise, whom does he require as a guru? He is the Supreme Lord himself who has spread all the Vedic knowledge. So Advaita Acharya and the Brahmin Sannyasi both were awestruck. And Advaita Acharya was so pleased because a five-year-old boy is speaking such profound philosophy that he immediately embraced his son Achyutananda. And he started bathing him with torrents of tears from his eyes. And he said that, "You are actually my father. You are my guru. Because you are teaching all this. Such beautiful words are emanating from your mouth. You are preaching all these things to me. I was just answering an external thing to this sannyasi. But you are the one who has revealed the true meaning of the question of the sannyasi." So thinking like this, he just embraced his son and he was so happy in his heart. And then soon after, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also came over there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also embraced Advaita Acharya's son Achyutananda. He made him sit in his lap and he came to know that Achyutananda had said like this to the Brahmin sannyasi. So he made him sit in his lap and he also bathed that boy in tears of love. And when this Achyutananda grew up, he was so nicely trained by his parents, Advaita Acharya and Sita Thakurani, because they were exemplary grahasthas, that when he grew up, he became such a great devotee of the Lord and he took initiation from Gadadhar Pandit. So we see all these different aspects of Advaita Acharya's life. Since time is running short, we will stop over here. But he is an incarnation. He is the Supreme Lord himself who has come in the guise of a devotee. He is an incarnation of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva combined. And that Shiva in the spiritual world, who is actually a cowherd boy, that has come as Advaita Acharya to participate in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So he was himself a very great scholar. He was himself a very great devotee who used to spread the message of pure Krishna Bhakti and the superiority of Krishna Bhakti over everything else. And he was also a very exemplary grahastha, he and his wife both, who brought up their son so nicely. And we just heard the pastime about their son. So we'll end the lecture here and we'll ask if anybody has any comments or questions or corrections. I don't remember all the six reasons, but I know the three external reasons were because Advaita Acharya called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was petitioning for the Lord to come. The second reason was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to establish the Yuga Dharma. He came to spread the holy names of the Lord. And the third reason was to establish, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. He comes whenever there is a decline in religion. I incarnate myself to stop irreligion and to deliver my devotees. So these are the three external reasons. And I know one of the internal reasons was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, who wanted to taste the love of Radharani. So he came in the form of his devotee and he was always in the mood of Radharani, separation of Krishna, wanting to taste that love which Radharani experiences for Krishna. So this is one of the internal reasons, and maybe Vraja Krishna Prabhu can tell us the two other internal reasons if you know.
He was trying to experience what it is to be his own servant. So he's the Lord who is trying to see what it is to be his own servant first. And then the second, he wanted to taste his own sweetness by being his own servant. And the third is he wanted to taste the bliss of serving himself. So these are the three. They kind of very almost like overlapping a bit, but if you look at it closely, it is very different. He wanted to be the servant of himself. He wanted to taste his own sweetness, and he wanted to experience the ecstasy of being his servant. So these are the details.
Mahaprabhu is a Mahavadhyaya, Moksha Kasi, and we also hear that in Kali Yuga, God doesn't take mental offenses seriously. So why Mahaprabhu brought his mercy to his mother?
To his mother. Like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Vrindavandas Thakur have explained in their Chaitanya Charitamrita and the other book which Vrindavandas Thakur has written, that this was mainly to teach all of us. Like as I explained, there were two reasons for this pastime to happen. So he wanted to show that nobody can be spared from Vaishnava Prad, not even his own mother. So that was one of the reasons. Like we know in Kali Yuga, mental offenses cannot be considered, but sometimes, you know how there is an example, like Prabhupada always used to teach, always used to say this example, that when a mother-in-law wants to train the daughter-in-law, she always does it through her own daughter. So she will always chastise her daughter, you should not do like this, like this, like this, and that is how the daughter-in-law will learn, by observing the mother-in-law chastising her own daughter. So similarly, sometimes the Lord does this pastimes, like by, you know, teaching, using his own mother as an example to teach the whole world. That how, you know, actually, because it is said that when we, mental offenses are not considered in Kali Yuga, but it is mentioned that even if when we think of a Vaishnava Aparad in our mind and we keep brooding over it or we allow it to dwell in our mind, then automatically it will come out in words and then an action will happen on that thought which is there. So that is also the other repercussion of Vaishnava Aparad in the mind. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to establish the highest or the most strict, he wanted to be the strictest because he wanted to teach all of us through his own mother's example. That is my point.
Thank you for a very excellent lecture, very nice preparation. One more comment is about the first time on the Maya philosophy. That is excellent because Mahaprabhu always said, Maya Sunilya Vashatyanash.
The students witnessed that happening, so they understood. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.